a word to husbands, and you know, you ladies are so graceful, gracious Sunday morning in taking that sermon, and you did so well. You know, John Lou got up and left in the middle of it, but I thought it's either the sermon or I've gone too long. You know, she got up, left, and we finished up, and I looked, and it was 5:10. I said, well, wasn't that? It must have been the sermon, so I don't know. But it is interesting, and I hope you do see this in this book, that the word, one of the key things in the Christian life is submission. Okay? Too many times we just want to pick out that little section about women being submissive to their husbands and just preach on that when we are, you know, the whole thing starts off talking about being submissive to government, and then it goes on and talks about being submissive to your masters or your bosses or whatever, and then it talks about wives being submissive to their husbands. And tonight we're going to see what Paul has to say, and he puts a lot into one little verse here to husbands. And it's scary what he puts in there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, all of us, if we want to grow in you, if we want to be your man or your woman, we must learn these principles of being submissive to each other, because if we don't learn that, then we will never learn the principle of being submissive to you. Because when we refuse to be submissive, when your word clearly tells us to do that, then we are in rebellion against you. And help us to see that, and help us to learn to submit to each other and to people who you have placed in authority over us, so, Lord, so that we can grow spiritually as you want us to. Because really, when it comes down to it, it's not all about what is going on right here, right now anyway. It's about eternity, and it's about our relationship with you for eternity and our service to you for eternity. Help us to always remember that, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you're taking notes, you can write this. It says, much has been made of the fact that the Bible says for wives to submit to their husbands. But most of the people that really want to bring that up and out stop at verse 7. So I want us to, and by the way, this is not isolated. If you look where Paul is talking about that over in Ephesians, you see the same thing, except it's before that in Ephesians. But we're in 1 Peter, so let's look at verse 7, chapter 3. It says, you husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Because of the way that the world reads the Bible, with a total lack of understanding. If you are not a Christian, you're not going to understand the spiritual aspects of the Word of God, because it's spiritually discerned. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you don't if you're not a Christian, you're not going to really understand the Bible, because it's spiritually discerned. Your Holy Spirit interprets the Word of God, and so it's important that we understand that. But because of the way the world, non-Christian world, reads the Bible with a total lack of understanding, it's probably a good thing they don't get to this verse. Because this verse can totally be taken and have a spin put on it, as they say in our news media, that could totally foul things up as far as understanding what God has for us as Christians. So I want us as Christians to look at this verse together. I want us, first of all, to notice that it says that we are heirs together, a fellow heir of the grace of God. That means, write this down, that men and women are equal in grace and equal in standing with the Lord. They have equal worth before God. And when you really think about it, that's all that matters. You know, think about this. In 100 years, what is your worth and your standing in this present world going to mean? Nothing. Your worth and what everybody in this world thinks about you and what everybody in this world praises you for and what everybody in this world and all the stuff in this world you have and all of everything about this world in 100 years will mean nothing. But in 100 years, what is your worth and standing before the Lord going to mean? Everything. And we need to understand that, folks. We got this idea that it's all about what other people think. It's all about the stuff I own. It's all about this. It's all about that. It's all about everything else. And we are so self-centered and so worldly that we think that's what it, even as Christians, we just concentrate totally on that. And in reality, it doesn't mean anything. The only thing that will matter in 100 years is our worth and standing before God. And we need to understand that. This was at the time Peter wrote this letter, this verse, and it is now a revolutionary concept. You see, when this was written, wives were mainly objects to be owned. In a very real sense of the word. They could not own property. They did not have any legal standing. They just, you know, if their husband did not want them, he could kick them out and that would be fine. And they would just have to hopefully find some other man to take them in or go into prostitution. That was their option. They could do that. It was totally legal to do that. And so here comes Peter, and he says, they are equal before God with men. You know what? Jewish men would literally get up and pray, thank God I'm a Jew, and thank God I'm not a woman. Now you think, oh, that's terrible. That was the way it was, okay? I'm not making that up. So Peter coming up and saying this, and God saying it through Peter, this was a big deal. But our world, looking at that, they would say, oh, look at that. They're just looking down their nose at women. No, they're not. He is saying that in the eyes of God, women are precious treasures. And then in this verse, it talks about us as men, our responsibility, a husband's responsibility. Husbands are responsible to think of their wife's well-being thoughtfully. Write this down. A husband is to seek to meet his wife's needs before his own needs. He should seek, before he takes care of himself, to be sure that his wife's needs are met. A husband, when his wife is struggling, or when his wife is afraid, or when his wife is acting like a wife, is always to respond, write this down, sympathetically to his wife. Now that's hard to do. Because sometimes we just don't know what to do. I mean, guys, ladies, just understand that. Even those of us that try to be sympathetic don't, you know, I don't know. And I want you to think about this, ladies. How many of you would struggle with submitting to a man whom you knew always had your well-being at heart? He always thought about you first. How many of you would have trouble submitting to a husband who always placed your needs before his own needs? You know, how many of you would struggle with submitting to a husband who is always trying to be sympathetic to you? Well, let me just tell you, your husband's not ever going to be able to do all of that perfectly. But Blossom, you're not perfect either. None of us are perfect. You know, none of us are. You know, I mean, we're just not. It's funny. Your husband's never going to be perfectly caring. He's never going to be perfectly unselfish. He's never going to be perfectly sympathetic, but he may be willing to work toward that. You understand what I'm saying? None of us is perfect, but all of us should be working toward being more like Jesus and meeting these standards like this. You know, we talked about, he said earlier, be holy as I am holy, and we talked about the fact that holiness is what God does on the inside, okay? And your morality is the way you put out that holiness. Now, some people can be very moral and not even be a Christian, so it breaks down. But the point is, it's not an overnight thing. Even though in the eyes of God you're totally holy, You don't develop holiness. It's a long-term thing. It's a long-term growing thing. God's working in you. God's working in you. God's working in you. And it should be coming out and working out and being worked out, both men and women, right? The thing is, most of us just need to be willing to let God work on each other. Wives, you need to be willing to let God work on your husband. You know, just let him work on. And you know, if he's not doing what he's supposed to do, let God take care of it. You know, when I was a little boy, my brother and I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but we didn't get along. And he, you know, I just thought he was a spoiled brat, kind of like Carla. Stacy, you know, and I thought, you know, he got by with stuff that he shouldn't get by with. I just honestly thought that. And to be honest with you, I thought I would probably be a better parent because I felt like I would take care of that little Jaybird and he wouldn't be getting by with all that stuff. But the truth is, I was not. Wouldn't be, you know, I wasn't a very good parent when I was a parent, you know. It's amazing how you think you're going to be such a great parent till you have kids. You know what I'm talking about. You parents know. You do the best you can. But in reality, I should have submitted to my parents and let my parents be the parents. They did a pretty good job on my little brother, you know, okay? I probably wouldn't have. We need to be the same way with our Heavenly Father. Ladies, when your husband's got to grow, well, guess what? You do too. We all have different areas to grow in. Let God work on him in these areas. You know? Oh, man. you know, when you men get aggravated at your wife because they're not submissive, work on your part. You know, work on this, you know, work on this idea of having her well-being at heart. Work on that. Help her to see that. Work on placing her needs above yours. Work on being sympathetic. Work on that, because you can work on that. You can't work on her. It isn't going to happen. You can tell her what she needs to do, and that doesn't help a bit. And ladies, you know, it's the same for you. You can't fix your husband. You married him thinking you were going to, and it hasn't happened, has it? You know that. God can fix him, though. God can fix him. Work on allowing God to change you into a submissive and caring wife. See, you can't change your husband. Your husband can't change you. But God can change both of you. And we just need to let God work on us and let God work on them. And everybody will work out much better, much better. And then there's this phrase here about the weaker vessel, and that's the one that the world jumps on, right? They're weak. They're weaker. And this is not to be thought of, write this down, as a negative, okay? And you know, I think we would have to generally say that as a rule, particularly in Peter's time, women are not as physically strong as men. Now, I know there's some of those people over in Bulgaria and Hungary, some of those women, man, oh, man, they're huge, you know, they've had them steroids, and, you know, where was this girl at some ball game at Mississippi State a couple, when Mary Catherine played, and I mean, this woman, man, she looked like a man, she was huge, man, and then somebody said she was from Bulgaria, and Bobby, I knew, she was probably on the Olympic team. Look, obviously, there's exceptions. You know, there are some women that are stronger than some men, and vice versa, and all of that. That's not really the thing. But basically, it demands, it's this thing. A husband should be gentle with his wife in two areas: physically and with his words. I would dare say the word part is the main thing, because we, you know, girls and women go by our tone of voice, you know, you which is going now. They do, don't they? They go, you can say everything right, but if you say it with the wrong tone of voice, you're in trouble. The key to that is gentleness. And I'm not even going to go to physical abuse. Any man that hits a woman, my dad brought me up that way. Any man that hits a woman needs to have every man in the neighborhood take him out and just beat the mess out of him. That's what needs to be happening in our world. I'm going to be honest with you. Things have changed in the worst in that way. And women, if you're beating up your husband, shame on you too. You know, don't be laughing. Tracy, when I was down with Hattiesburg Police Department, every Friday night they'd call in, go by her, pick up her sword, so she'd beat him up again, you know. And we laughed about that, Katie. We laughed. And then one day I was down there, and they brought that woman in, and it had three big cops. It took them to get her in. She was the biggest. And her husband was about your size. I mean, it was hilarious. I said, I'm never laughing at that guy again. Look, and that happens. Women can beat up their husband. You don't need to do that. We both need to be, you know, gentle. And again, this has nothing, write this down, nothing to do with worth or value, either in the sight of God or with other people. Now, this whole idea of submission simply has to do with having a relationship that works. You want a relationship with the Lord that works? Then you need to learn to submit to Him. And the way we work out our submission to Him is in being submissive to each other. That's the way it is in everything. You want to work out, show your love for God, show your love to other people, right? And that, that's the way it all works. All works. Sometimes, and I'll just say this, sometimes a decision has to be made. And I believe this, that when you just are in an impasse and you don't know what to do, and both of y'all have your strong opinions, and it gets down to somebody's got to make the decision, the man ought to do it. But, write this down, it's a dumb and a stupid husband who makes all the decisions without consulting his wife. You're a dummy. I mean, my wife knows so much more about so many things that I don't know about, and I would be stupid to try to make a bunch of decisions that she knows more about than I do without talking to her. It's stupid to make major decisions that's going to affect your wife and children without talking to your wife about it, guys. Even if they are going to eventually give in and say, yes, sir, whatever. It's stupid for you to not tell them and consult with them. And yes, pray with them. I cannot tell you how many times I have wanted to do something and I talked it over with my wife, and after talking it over with her, I knew that wasn't what we were supposed to do, Tony. You probably done the same thing. You talk it over, and God uses your wife. She belongs to Him too, so listen to her. Little part here at the end of the verse, I don't know if you noticed it. The last part, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now what that means is, guys, if you aren't doing this stuff we're talking about, it's going to affect your relationship with God. It's going to affect your relationship with God. You're going to be praying, and he's just going to be like talking to a brick wall. How do I know this, Kevin? Because, oh, man, I'd get in a big fight way with my wife, and I'd storm out of the house and go out to the church to work on my sermon. You know, it was just like, that was just stupid. Yeah, no way. There's no way. I mean, I'm just like, I'm not going to do it, Lord. And he's saying, okay, you're just telling me you're not going to do what I'm. And then when I'd go back in and I would apologize and repent, then I could go back out and I could pray and God. And listen, there are so many men who are Christians who do have no prayer life whatsoever because they are constantly beating down their wives. You know, look. If you can't be submissive in the most intimate relationship you have, don't expect to be submissive in an even more intimate relationship, or should be, with the Lord. It's not going to happen. Your prayers will be hindered. Does that mean God doesn't hear your prayers? Of course not. He hears your prayers anyway. He hears your prayers even when you don't pray them. He can read your mind. But it's going to be like talking to a brick wall. So what are we saying? We are saying that everyone in here, if we want to submit to God and have a relationship with God like we should, we need to learn to submit to each other. You know? We need to learn to submit to the government. And I know that hurts. You just get so frustrated. Becky, about once a week, I let her watch the news. And then I just get so mad. I get so mad. What, listen to it, Cater. I just go in there and, you know. But seriously. But it has nothing to do with it. You still got to submit to them. You know. It's the same way with, you know, my bosses, my... I don't really have bosses necessarily, but I talk to my deacons, and when they tell me things that need to be happening, I need to really seriously consider submitting. And when I worked over at the school, and Mr. McKnight would call me in and want to know why I did the dumb thing I did, you know, I had to submit. You understand what I'm saying? It's the same way with each other in our homes. If your kids do not see you having a right kind of relationship, they won't have the kind of relationship they need to have when they get married. They can take all the old Christian family living stuff all they want over at the school, but if they haven't seen it in their home, chances are they're going to really have a struggle. And I know that from experience, because my parents were divorced and my parents didn't do it right. And I went to French camp. They didn't have that when I was there. But I was able to look at some of those people over there and the relationships they had. And then when I went on out and I got in church and I could see other people, and I knew I didn't want to get a divorce. But it's been a struggle, and I've had to work hard. My wife came from a good family. I didn't. But I determined that my kids were going to come from a good family. And one of the things I determined was, and I tell them that over and over, and many times as Becky and I have had fusses, we always made sure they knew that we were together. It doesn't matter. Option, divorce is not an option. I'm not judging anybody on that. But for me and my wife, we set that up. That is never an option, and never will be an option. Murder may be, but not divorce. And my kids know that. I heard one of them telling Joy one time, and they were talking about it. Oh, they just having a fight. It's okay. They'll make up, and it'll be all right. And it was. But that made me feel good. They knew that. All right. Let's stop there. I could go on and on and on, but I won't. Cater, thank you, buddy.